This is Jackie Tan, and welcome to the Bodies Built Better podcast. On the show, we chat with experts, athletes, coaches, and authors to educate and inspire you. We explore the body's incredible ability to heal, adapt, and evolve so you can crush limitations, reconnect your body and mind, and discover your extraordinary potential. Today on the podcast, I had the pleasure of chatting with Jordana Levine, author of the book Make It Happen, which is all about manifesting the life that you want. She has this incredible ability to make the woo-woo digestible, practical, and most importantly, for all you skeptics, logical. Jordana is a big proponent of taking ownership of your life. And in this episode, she's going to teach you how to do that. So buckle up and enjoy this episode with Jordana Levine. Jordana Levine, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I'm super excited to talk about your book, Make It Happen, and all things manifestation. But before we get into it, tell us a little bit about you and your career and how you came to eventually write the book, Make It Happen.
Well, thank you for having me. Look, I've led a very varied life to get me up into this point. But my background is journalism, first and foremost. I studied journalism and I worked as a journalist for many years, but mainly in the food publishing industry. And I kind of worked my way up the ranks of all the food mags. And I kind of got to the top and I just wasn't enjoying it. And so I thought, I'm going to go out on my own and do some freelance work. So I did. And, you know, when you're working for yourself, I think you start to kind of work out what things really interest you outside of the scope of what you actually do for work. And I started kind of dabbling in some of the things that I'd always been brought up learning, which was about the moon and spirituality and manifestation. But because I had come from quite a corporate background and I deemed myself to be a really super practical person, I felt like there was a gap in the market for spiritual teachings being kind of lost on people who do have a really practical mindset. And so I kind of, I took my writing abilities and decided to do something with it. And that's how Make It Happen was born. And a lot of the other work that I do around the moon.
I love how you've said the practical side of it, because I know a lot of people can look at the word manifest or manifesting and sort of think potentially woo-woo or even going back to, you know, The Secret and that law of attraction and all of that. So what is manifesting and what are the differences between the two?
Well, I mean, I think the simplest way to break manifestation down is to say that it is taking ownership of a future that you desire. So something that you want to create for yourself and taking responsibility for that. The Secret and, you know, Abraham and Esther Hicks, that is also definitely manifestation. What I found, though, as I was trying to follow those teachings, was that there were big gaps in it that just made it feel a little bit too woo-woo or magical or by chance, and not that you yourself had the potential to actually make it happen. So take the action steps and take the responsibility yourself.
Yeah, taking ownership, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so in your book, Make It Happen, you've got an equation.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So the equation was basically a way to break down the teachings in a format that people could continually come back to so that they understand. And the way that the manifestation equation works is it's thoughts plus feelings plus actions plus faith equals successful manifestation. And it works like a math sum in that the sum is the total of its parts. So every single part of that equation has equal weight in order for manifestation to occur, and all four parts need to be working together in unison. Because I found for a very long time that, you know, I would think the good thoughts and I would feel the good feels, but I probably didn't have faith that it would actually happen. And I wasn't really taking any action steps that were aligned with those thoughts and feelings. And then sometimes, you know, we'll be taking all of the action, but our thoughts are saying something completely different, and we have zero faith in what's possible for us. So it's like, if you can have all four components working together, then I really do believe that your chance of manifestation is increased.
I'd love to break that down a bit more, because I mean, it all, like, it's individually, it all makes sense. And I think, if anything, the action probably sounds the most easy, well, sounds easiest, right? But, you know, hard for some people to do. But if we look at all of it, for me in particular, I would go with faith. What does that look like? And how do I really, how do I believe something and put faith out there in the universe?
Yeah. Look, faith is the trickiest part of the equation to teach, I think. Faith can be looked at on a few different levels. There's a faith that something greater than you is working with you. So, you know, I call it the universe, but some people might call it God or, you know, creator or whatever it might be. Just knowing that there is a force outside of you that is looking after you and has your best interests in mind. I think many of us fall into this pattern of feeling like the world is against us, and it's sort of flipping the switch on that. And then also having a deep level of faith in yourself. And I think the faith piece when it comes to self comes down to worthiness. Like, do I feel like I'm worthy and deserving of the things that I'm trying to create in my life? I do believe that your level of self-worth and your ability to manifest are directly correlated. So in the areas of your life where you feel less worthy, I think you will find it really hard to create in that arena. But in the areas of your life where you feel worthy and deserving, it's going to be a lot easier and things will naturally come in.
So do you think that's where we've really got to start, is looking at whether we believe we're worth what we're trying to manifest?
Yeah, I do. I think the self-worth piece is the clincher for people, and it falls into all four parts of the equation. So, like, do your thoughts align with your level of self-worth? Like, are you, the thoughts that you're running in your head, are they aligning with this idea that you are worthy and deserving, or are you constantly telling yourself that you're not? And again, your feelings, like, do you feel worthy and deserving of this thing that you want to create, or does it feel too far removed for you? Why can't you get yourself into a space where you feel like you deserve that? Mm. And then actions, are you taking the actions that put you in a space of being worthy with it, you know? And because sometimes we think we're worthy and we feel we're worthy, but we're not taking any action steps to prove that we are, you know, which kind of counteracts the first two. It's like, well, if you can't take the action towards it, then do you really think that? And do you really feel that?
You've literally just gone into my next question, because I was going to ask that, like, how do we, like, know the difference between, you know, thinking that we're worthy, but actually then deep down wholeheartedly knowing and trusting that and really believing that we are?
Yeah, I think it's I think it takes practice, and I think thoughts are a really good place to start, because if you're constantly trying to feel worthy but your thoughts aren't aligned with that, then you're just not going to be able to. You know, and I always, when I'm talking about thoughts with people, there's this great study that came out of I think it was Michigan University. I can't remember the university now. And basically they proved that 85% of our thoughts are untrue. especially the thoughts that we have about ourselves. So it's just like, we need to start catching the thoughts that aren't true and labeling them as untrue. It's not like we're never going to have them again. We're definitely going to keep having them, but we don't have to indulge them, and we don't have to let them form into a belief system, because that's when we start to affect the faith part. you know, a belief is just a series of thoughts that you've had over and over and over again until you form a belief around it.
Yeah.
And so can we start catching those thoughts in the moment and going, that's not true, I'm not going to indulge that?
I guess that's probably the way to start unlearning those habits as well.
Yeah.
Ourselves out.
Yeah, catching yourself out. And it is a moment by moment practice. I still have to do it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about when we think, you know, we've really deserved something and it doesn't go our way?
Yeah, well, that's when the faith piece comes in. It's saying to yourself, and I repeat this mantra over and over again, you know, if not this, then something better. So it's this idea that it didn't work out, not because you're not worthy or deserving of it, but because something better is on the way and it's going to play out in a way that you couldn't envisage.
Yeah.
And having faith in that. And if you look back at your life, I think that most people will be able to say that even in their darkest moments where it felt like everything was working against them, that from that space something else grew or bloomed.
That's a really great point.
And that's kind of where you need to start looking at your life.
Yeah. And we so, I mean, I'm getting better at doing that myself and looking back and going, oh, that was really shit, but I got through it and something else has evolved from it. So that's really nice to look back over it.
I think, you know, 2020 has really given us opportunity to see if we can work by this train of thought, you know, like so much shit has happened in 2020, but can you, and it might be too early for some people to see the silver linings, but can you start to see how things not working out because, you know, we were in lockdown or, you know, whatever, have opened different opportunities that you never saw coming?
Yeah, definitely still looking into that one for myself.
Yeah.
I really love the fact that your book, I mean, obviously you've given us all the juicy stuff, right? But the thing I love about it is your way of telling stories in a very funny way, by the way.
Thank you.
But it brings it back to reality. Like there's this, you know, here's the equation that you can literally have the life you want if you follow this, but remember I'm human and this is what I've been through and these are my stories. So could you tell us a bit about your injuries that you had throughout your life and what I guess the universe was saying to you?
Yeah, it was saying, wake up, Jord, and listen. I tell a story in the book. Well, there's a few injury stories, isn't there? I tell one of the stories I tell in the book is about a series of shoulder dislocations that I went through. And they started off as like really kind of simple shoulder dislocations where they would just relocate themselves. And then they got more severe where I would have to go to hospital each time and have a general anesthetic in order to get it back in. And, you know, it was just kept getting worse and worse. I believe that those injuries were manifesting themselves because there were areas of my life where I was ignoring big red flags. And a lot of it came down to relationships and the work environment that I was in. And I think that this is quite a common ailment for people where they will ignore what's happening in the physical world or in the material world, and it will start to manifest itself physically so that you wake up to what's going on and you can start to make changes. For a lot of people, it results in chronic fatigue or burnout. For some people, it's, you know, literal accidents. Another accident I had was I broke my foot because I was just so disengaged from what was actually going on in my life that the universe was like, screw this, like you need to wake up, girl. And I like slid on a piece of paper and like shattered my foot. I do think that if we're not in tune with ourselves and we're ignoring our low levels of self-worth and our deservedness in certain situations by not taking action and making changes in our life, then yeah, the universe will deliver a few ways to slow you down.
I love it how you've about the broken foot, you've woken up the next morning. It's basically purple. You're like, yeah, I can still go to work. Sure.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll just catch a cab in. I'll be fine.
How many times have we all done that in our lives?
Absolutely.
Let's talk feelings.
Okay.
How do we learn, or do we have any control or influence over, I mean, obviously we feel what we feel, right? But yeah, how do we start to, I guess, manage that in a way to realign ourselves with what we want?
I think it's figuring out how having the thing that you want to create in your life is going to make you feel. And then trying to feel that within yourself already before that thing even manifests. Because by doing that, what you're actually doing is changing your vibrational frequency. And in the book, I talk about four universal laws, and each universal law is tied to one of the parts of the equation. And the universal law for feelings is the law of vibration, which states that everything in the universe vibrates on its own frequency, and things with a similar frequency are drawn together. So if you want to create something in your future, manifest something, working out how having that thing will make you feel and then vibrating on that frequency now. And the beauty of that is that if we can just concentrate on the feeling, sometimes it actually doesn't matter how that feeling manifests.
Yeah, how powerful are feelings? And basically you turn yourself into a magnet, really.
Well, you do. Yeah, you completely change your vibrational frequency, and it works in the same way that if you're sitting in a really kind of low vibrational state and you're operating from a place of fear and shame and guilt and anger and frustration, and all of those feelings are valid. But if you're constantly vibrating on that frequency, then you're going to start to attract more of that energy towards you.
Yeah. So how, if we are feeling those sorts of feelings, you know, even really down, and, you know, whether it's sadness or depression, you know, with everything that's around us and we're completely consumed by that, how do we start to sort of get ourselves out of those feelings? Is it a matter of just sitting there and trying to just write it out, or do we really just start to go the positive thinking?
It's a really good question, and it might surprise a lot of people to say no, I don't think you just go the positive thinking. I'm really conscious of people feeling low vibrational feelings and just smothering them with positive feelings, hoping that they go away, because it doesn't work like that. And I think that when we do feel anger or frustration or fear or doubt or whatever it might be, we suppress it because we don't like the feeling. But if we can feel the feeling, and actually by feeling it and letting ourselves sit in it, we're actually processing it, and it gives it an opportunity to move. And, you know, another word for feeling is emotion, and emotions are energy in motion. So if we can actually feel them and start to move that energy through our bodies, then we've got a better chance of releasing it and then inviting in the positive feelings, you know, because I just don't think there's validity in feeling a positive feeling if you're not genuinely feeling it. You know what I mean? Like, you can fake it till you make it to a point, but it's not real. So the idea is not to mask the feelings, but to feel them and give them an opportunity to be processed and released. It's only when we start suppressing them that we hold on to them for a period of time, and then they manifest as broken feet and shoulder dislocations and all the rest of it.
That's it.
Yeah.
And do you feel like, I mean, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but do you feel like those sorts of feelings have a time frame? Like, if we're really stuck in something, how long is it healthy, so to speak, to be feeling it and trying to process it?
I don't know. I do think, though, you really have to ask yourself why you're feeling the feeling. If you're going, like, if you're feeling grief because a loved one has just passed, you can't put a time limit on that. But if you're sitting in fear about an unknown outcome, and your thoughts are sending you into a spin about something that you can't control because it hasn't happened yet, then you need to ask yourself why you're sitting in fear. And I'm all for going to see a therapist and talking to a psychologist, like if that's what you need to do to move through it. But, you know, there are studies that say it only takes 7 minutes to process a feeling properly. And I think this is why sometimes when we have a big cry and we let ourselves cry, that we actually feel a million times better after it because we've allowed the emotion to move through us. And it doesn't mean that you're not still sad. And you just don't feel consumed by that sadness.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about thoughts.
Okay.
Is it as simple as thinking positively?
I think no. I think it's as simple as catching negative thoughts, definitely. I don't know. I got to say, I'm not a huge advocate of positive thinking in terms of it being the driver of manifestation. It's a part. It's part of the equation. But you cannot just sit back on a lounge chair and think positive thoughts and think that that's going to make a difference. Like that. I mean, that just blows my mind that that's even a teaching. You know. Yeah. So, but I do think that having positive thoughts and having a really optimistic outlook on your own life is of course beneficial, but what's more beneficial is catching the thoughts that drag you into a negative state of low self-worth and undeservedness.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, having good thoughts as well brings about a nicer energy to you as well. What you're talking about in terms of that vibration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just think that if people are terrified of having negative thoughts, then it's near impossible. You know, like we all have a level of judgment, and I think having a level of judgment is healthy. It keeps you safe. You know, it helps you make decisions. And sometimes that judgment comes with an air of negativity. I think that's fine. I don't want people to think that if they have negative thoughts, that all of this negative stuff's going to start manifesting for them, because I just think that's, you know, injecting fear into people.
Yeah. And what about when someone says, well, I don't know what I want. I don't know where to start. Like, I just don't know what I want. How do I possibly manifest something that I don't know?
Yeah. And I do think clarity is really important. But if you're not sure exactly what it is that you want to create in your life, ask yourself, how do I want to feel in my life? How do I want to feel in my life? Are my thoughts aligned with those feelings? Do I take action in my life that puts me in a place where I have the potential to feel that? Or am I taking action steps that actually take me further away from achieving those feelings? You don't have to be specific in your manifestations about the how, the when, the why, the what, but you do need to be specific about how you want to feel, because that's what's changing your vibrational frequency.
Amazing. So would you say start with how you want to feel?
How you want to feel. I mean, I think a lot of the time when people sit down to manifest, they have a clear intention of what they want. So I would say, you know, have an intention of what you want. If you don't have an intention about a specific thing you want, then definitely work out what it is that you want to feel in your life. Then you go through the equation and you ask yourself, are my thoughts aligned with this intention? Day to day, are my thoughts saying that I'm worthy and deserving of this? Am I tapping into the feelings that are associated with this intention, all those feelings that I want to feel, that I desire to feel? Do I put myself in a position where I can feel those feelings separate from the thing that I'm trying to create? And then ask yourself, do the action steps that I take align myself with this intention? You know, and even if the action step is just a baby step, it's like, am I taking action every day to make sure that I'm actually getting closer to that intention? And then lastly, do I actually believe that it's possible for me? Because if I don't, then I'm going to have to kind of start from the beginning again, go back to my thoughts.
Yeah. I think you've pretty much answered this question, but I'll ask it anyway to see if you've got anything to add to it.
Yep.
So we've done our manifesting, or we've figured out what we want. We've got clarity, but then we look at that large, audacious goal, whatever it is, and we go,
yeah,
holy cow, that is so freaking, I don't even know where to start. Like, how do I even take action on something that seems so massive? What would you say to that?
Yeah, I think that totally. Like, I think sometimes we have such a big goal or intention that it's like, well, where would I even start? I guess it's asking yourself, am I taking action that actually removes me, like that takes me further away from that? You know, so it's like one of my intentions has always been, ever since I was like a teenager, has always been to have a book on the New York Times bestseller list. Now, I spent 10 years of my life working in magazines in food, thinking, well, it's probably not going to happen. And then I started writing, and then I started writing books. And then I was like, well, hang on, I'm still very, very, very far away from this, but I'm definitely closer than I've ever been, you know? So, I mean, that's kind of an extreme example, but it's sort of saying, well, what are the tiny steps I can take? But if I can't take tiny steps yet, are the steps that I am taking getting me further away? Because if they are, then maybe there's something that I need to shift around that.
That's amazing. I never thought of it that way. So that's a very good point to point out. Like, yeah,
oh,
go
good.
Forward, not backward.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've mentioned stillness in the book. How do we know when to act and when to be still?
Yeah, I think a big piece of manifestation is the stillness and surrender piece. And it's hard. I mean, it's personal for everybody, but I think that you need to ask yourself, have I taken action? And if you have, can you just sit back and drop into the faith side of it? Because I think there's only so much action we can take before we're actually pushing something too hard. And we need to have, if we have a level of faith that we're worthy and deserving of it, then we don't need to be constantly pushing. You need to step back and say, okay, well, universe, I've done my bit and now you do your bit. Like, let's work together. It's this co-creation piece of action and surrender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I love a bit of woo-woo, so I don't know if you've heard this I've heard, or in, you know, circles that I've dabbled into, that some people think that everyone's life is mapped out for them already. Mm-hmm. The universe has a plan for you, and actually no matter what you manifest or what you think you want, this is the path for you. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I actually touch on it in the book. I call it a soul contract. And this is just my personal opinion, I do personally believe that before we incarnate in this lifetime, there is a period of deciding what we want to achieve in the next lifetime. So the lifetime that we've landed in now. I think that your soul gets a say in it. I don't think the universe just assigns you a new role. I think you say, well, what lessons do I want to learn this time around? In saying that, you have been given a blueprint. You have not been given a specific path. So there are times where you will digress from the path. There will be times where you're right on track and you feel on purpose. And there will be times, I'm sure, where opportunity comes around and it changes the course completely. So, no, I don't think that we are bound by what the universe feels like we need to be achieving in this lifetime. But I do think that there is a part of our soul that decided what it wanted to get out of this lifetime.
Amazing. And that can bring, I mean, that brings back so much ownership to what we want, and control to how we want our lives to look and be and feel.
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, you need, when it comes to manifestation, it really is, like I said before, this co-creation piece between deciding what you want out of your life and then also letting the universe show you what's possible for you. But once the universe shows you, you need to be able to make that work, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like the universe is going to be like, you're going to be a Hollywood starlet. And you're like, okay, well, I'll just turn up. It's like, no, you're actually going to have to go to castings and auditions and work really hard on set. And, you know, so that's a weird example. I don't know where that came from, but there might be some Hollywood starlet wannabes listening. But you know, like you will be given opportunity, but it's what you make of it. And also you might be given opportunities that you don't want, and that's your choice. You have free will.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we've been talking about, I guess, the sort of bigger manifestation goals and long-term stuff. What about like that short-term, you know, I work with a lot of athletes, I work with a lot of corporates and, you know, in terms of, I guess, you know, that sports performance going out and, you know, playing a good game or running a good race or that corporate who's about to go into a meeting and do a big, presentation or whatever it is.
Yeah.
How can we use manifestation to just smash it out the park, so to speak?
Yeah, I think and I think that's the perfect time to use it. I think that's when you come back to the equation.
Yeah.
You know, like let's use the sports example. I'm not a big sporty person, but there's a big race that you want to win, you know? Okay, so in the lead up to the race, through training, through everything, are your thoughts aligning with that gold medal? Like, do you feel like, do you think, are your thoughts reflective of what you want to achieve? Or are you telling yourself, oh my God, I'm never going to win this. I can't win this. Who do I think I am to win this? You know, or are you saying, oh my God, I'm going to win this. I'm going to win this and I'm going to run the best race I can. And if I don't run the best race I can always try next time, whatever it might be. I mean, I don't know, whatever an athlete's thought process is like, but are my thoughts aligned with my end goal? Are my feelings aligned with it? Or am I like, and look, nerves are normal. So like nerves aren't going to like switch you out of a manifestation, but like, do I feel fear around it? And what am I scared of? Like, what am I scared of? And can I unpack that before the race so that I'm not going in with the feeling of fear? You know, do I feel worthy of winning this? And if I don't, why not? So it's getting curious with yourself as well, you know, and saying, if my thoughts and my feelings are aligned with my end goal and I believe that it's possible for me, why not? And then of course the action piece, you want to win that race, you got to show up to training, you know, like there's no point in just sitting at home on the couch eating popcorn and going, I'm going to win that race. I really feel like I'm going to win that race, you know?
And actually, yeah. It's such a good point because, you know, for athletes, the action part is probably the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, that's what self-worth. They're made for.
Yeah, and that belief that they do deserve the PB or, you know, a top 10 or whatever it is.
And this is not news to athletes. I mean, a lot of the top athletes are working on their mindset and they do put their successes down to having a very, very clear, active mindset about what they want to achieve. You know, like marathon runners are a really good example of that. I mean, they know that their body will take them so far, but it's their mind that gets them through that race.
Yes.
You know, so it is really, really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the same sort of thing goes for that business meeting, going in there with that clear goal and worthy of being up there.
Definitely. I mean, every promotion I've ever gotten when I was in corporate, I was highly underqualified for, but I just believed that I could do it and I could, you know. And that's also like, I mean, what boss doesn't want an overly confident person who believes in themselves, yeah. You know? So it's so hard because I know that certain people are, you know, not great at public speaking and perhaps the presentation is public speaking. And that's not to say that you can't manifest because you're nervous in a certain environment, but it's just meeting yourself where you're at. And it really, really, really does come back to that worthiness piece.
Yeah.
100%. And inquiring why. So if you don't feel worthy, why, you know? Yeah.
That can be really hard to
yeah.
answer that.
Yeah, but this stuff takes work, you know. It's like, and that's why I get so angry with the just think positive thoughts thing, because it's like, no. Because if that was the case, then we'd all be able to do it, right? Like, if that was proven, that's we'd it. All be able to do it.
I think we'd but all be millionaires. I would win the lottery.
Totally. But this is, like I said at the very beginning of this interview, this is about taking ownership of your life. And taking ownership of it means doing the work.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you nurture your body?
Oh, well, that's a very relevant question for me. I'm recovering from surgery at the moment, so I've really had to nurture my body. And that has actually meant not doing anything, which is very hard for me because I'm super active. So I think the way that I nurture my body is really listening to what my body needs in the moment. And I think for a lot of people, that's really hard. Because a lot of the time we think, no, I've got to stick to my routine. I promised myself I'd, you know, run 5 mornings this week and I'm really tired this morning, but I've got to push through. I've got to hustle. And I think there are times where, yeah, we need to push ourselves a little bit, but I think being able to tune into your body, which is essentially your vibrational field, it's telling you where your energy levels are at. I think that's the most nourishing thing you can do for yourself.
Oh,
yeah.
Amen to that. We're so good at ignoring ourselves and our bodies and neglecting that recovery and rest phase of every part of our life, really.
It's like society doesn't allow you to feel confident and comfortable in rest and relaxation, you know. And I really noticed this during lockdown, when we first all went into lockdown. There's probably people in Melbourne who are currently in it. I'm so sorry, people. But where everyone was on social media exercising from home and like doing all these crazy workouts, and people were starting to feel really less than, or like they weren't doing enough. And you know, I just wanted to give everyone a big hug and say, you know, we're actually going through a bit of trauma right now. Like, it's okay if you just want to rest. Like, you actually don't need to be doing an F45 workout from home every morning of the week. Like, it's okay. But I think that society or social media is not set up for that. So there's this real sort of comparison piece. But if you can tune into, your own body and your own energy levels, then you'll know what you need in the moment, I think.
Absolutely. Because there's a difference between energy levels being low and you just telling yourself you'd rather stay in bed and not go for the run.
Absolutely. And I think we all know deep down which one it is. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about 2020 and this massive roller coaster and faith and action and where does one start when, let's just say, there is someone at home going, I don't know where what the hell next to do or whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in this myself, so I don't know how much wisdom I'll pull out of it. What I will say is this: I do think that it's an unusual energy in 2020, because not only has there been some monumental, unprecedented events taking place that none of us have ever experienced in our lifetime before, but our lives have been put on a unscheduled pause. We don't know how long we're on pause for. And I think that uncertainty is really affecting the energy on a global level. You know, like, we don't know when we can travel again. We don't know if this virus is something that we're going to have to experience seasonally for the rest of our lives. Like, we don't know, you know. And I think there's a lot of people who live by themselves who are feeling lonely, and the opportunity of, you know, meeting someone, perhaps they were dating at the time and then they've had to really pull back, and now it's like, well, when am I ever going to get an opportunity to date? There's a lot of uncertainty. So I think overall it's about coming back to the faith piece and knowing and looking at the way that the universe works in cycles. And I talk about this a lot in the book. And 2020 is no different. It's just another cycle. But it's this idea that all energy in the universe works in a cyclical manner. And, you know, there's the phrase that people say a lot, this too shall pass. It's like this is going to pass. Everything is impermanent. There is not one sense of permanency in the universe. Everything is moving in cycles, whether it's the rising and the setting of the sun, the lunar cycle, you know, women's menstrual cycles. We're constantly in this cyclical state. And the energy that we're feeling in 2020, it will move as well. And when it moves, then, you know, our lives will still move with it because we are also cyclical beings. So I do think the faith and the trust piece is paramount right now. And also, again, looking at what you can make of the moment. So, you know, there's been a lot of downtime. There's been a lot of isolation. And it's saying, well, are there things that I need to address in my life that I can work on in this slow period? Like, are there things that I wanted to get done around the house? You know, are there things that I wanted to study? Did I want to take up knitting? I don't know what it might be. But, you know, finding the pockets of light in all of the darkness, because I think, you know, when we were talking before about replacing negative thoughts with positive thoughts isn't always the way to go. Sometimes in these situations, it's like, okay, well, I'm in a really shit place and that's okay. Where can I find the pockets of positivity and can I make the most of them?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because like you said before, I mean, you know, we can, I guess, get consumed by these moments, but yeah, those pockets of light. I really love that analogy. That's beautiful. Jordana, this has been amazing and I really appreciate your time. Firstly, before we finish off, I've got one last question, but before we finish, how can people find you and your work and more importantly, get their hands on your book, Make It Happen?
Well, Make It Happen is available all over the world now. So you can find it in all good bookstores and online. So Booktopia and Book Depository and Fish Pond and all those online bookstores have it. Amazon, you know, everywhere. Everywhere you can buy a book, you can buy Make It Happen. You can, the best place to follow everything that I do is probably Instagram, and my handle is at Jordana Levine. There's a double N in Jordana. And I also have a website, jordanalevine.com.
And can you quickly tell us a little bit about your Lunar Lover membership?
Yeah, so I, much like the way I teach manifestation, which is in a way that's very relatable and practical, I also teach people about the lunar cycle, because just like we were talking before about cyclical energy and that faith piece, the lunar cycle really allowed me to tap into the cyclical nature of the moon. And so I've got a podcast show that's called Lunar Lover, the podcast, and every new moon and full moon, we do an episode that walks you through the energy of that moon, but how it will specifically apply to our lives and how we can start to harness that energy in a way that's going to serve us. And then on top of that podcast, I've got a membership called Lunar Lover, the Lunar Lover membership. And basically within the membership, you get access to a whole lot of moon goodies. So we do new moon circles, we do full moon circles, we do yin classes in line with the lunar cycle. There's journal prompts, there's meditation, there's like all this stuff that connects you deeper to the lunar cycle, if that's something that you're interested in.
Yeah, totally. We'll put that all in the show notes for sure.
Awesome.
So to finish this off, what is your best advice for anyone who's so interested in this and really wants to take ownership and charge of their life and manifesting?
Well, I mean, my biggest piece of advice would be to read Make It Happen. And I only say that because it really does break it down in a way that makes it feel achievable. So it is a really good place to start. And look, if you don't like reading self-help books or personal development books, I feel you, I hate reading them too. So that's kind of why I wrote this book, because I think it's delivered in a way that's actually fun and enjoyable. It's not a pain in the ass to read. It's not dry.
I can totally attest to that. Because I love books, but I need the read to be really down to earth and relatable and funny. I love humor. And you deliver all of that with all the
thank you
as well. So it's brilliant.
Thank you. So I would start there. And then on top of that, I would just say, look, if you feel like you struggle with manifestation, really, really start to look at that self-worth piece.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Amazing. Jordana Levine, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you, Jackie. It's been a pleasure.
How good was that? She's got this incredible way of explaining everything. And I think even if you are a skeptic, once listening to that, it's really hard to go, oh, that actually makes sense. And it's logical and it's practical. And she's given you everything you need and the permission to live the life that you want. So if you haven't got her book, Make It Happen, do yourself a favor. I am always looking back over it as a reference. It's just a fantastic book to have, and it gives you permission and hope and faith and encouragement that you can have everything that you want. Thank you so much for listening in today. It is an honor and I truly appreciate you. If today's podcast has helped you in any way, please leave a review and tell your friends and, of course, subscribe. You can also head over to the show notes where you can find all the links mentioned in today's podcast. Have a spectacular day and here's to a world of bodies built better.